All right, that's my cut there. Dennis Edwards, Don't Look Any Further, and welcome to the Soul Savage Show with EB and Q Lynn Green. Hey, what's going on, gang?
What's going on, Will?
Man, I'm telling you, we are jamming here. Hey, you kicking this thing off right? Hey, to use your words, Q Lynn, you talking right.
Talking right. Rest on the Dennis Edwards. I just found that out like a couple hours ago. I didn't even know that. I randomly looked on Twitter, and I saw people retweeting from, I think it was something from Rolling Stone, said Dennis Edwards passed away. I was like, what? I'm like, what's going on? Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I just found it out. I was posting about, I was getting ready to post about the show, and I saw that. Go ahead, EB. My bad.
No, I was saying, yeah, he passed today. His birthday is actually tomorrow, so he passed the day before his birthday.
Wow, man, wow, wow. That is
that's
crazy.
Wow, but yeah, rest on the Dennis Edwards. Also, it was a R&B singer that passed, I think, a couple of days ago. She was, her name was Leah LaBelle. Rest on her and her husband, former NBA star, Rajul Butler. I actually met both of them. I met them separately. I didn't know they were married until like a couple of years ago, but I had met him it was at the All-Star Comedy in Dallas some years ago. And then when I was out in L.A., she used to do background vocals for Eric Benet. And she also, I think she was on American Idol. I think it was
right.
The season when Fantasia won. I think that's the one. But, yeah, I remember seeing her on it. She was kind of popping because she was signed to Pharrell's label. That one, like, kind of hit me in the gut because she was, like, a pretty cool person. That was, like, messed up to hear. Kind of ruined the – I was like, man. I was like, but then this Edwin caught me off guard. I was like, what? I was like, because I just went on there to just promote the show, and then I saw people tweeting that. I was like, man, that's crazy. Yes, rest on to Dennis Edwards, and rest on to, I think it's somebody else that passed away. It was a famous singer. I can't think of his name. He's part of a group, but rest on to them. Yeah, we have a jam-packed show. Man, we were gone last week. I was having some medical issues, so we didn't have a show last week. It was crazy. But, yeah, we're back. We plan to have a great show. It's just been a crazy week trying to get it together. Whole bunch of medical stuff going on, but I'm pushed through it. Evie, what have you been up to?
You know me. I'm always grinding. I'm just working every day trying to make, something stick. So, same old thing.
Man, I heard that. But right now, what we gonna do? We have a special guest on. He's a award-winning producer, director of Unsung and Unsung Hollywood. All kind of credentials on this show. His bio is very long, so we just get right. You know how we do. We get straight to the point, get straight to the chase. We introduce our guest, Mr. Isaac Taylor. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Yeah. How you doing? Can you guys hear me okay?
We hear you fine.
Yeah.
How are you
doing? I'm
we're
great.
Doing all right.
Thanks for having me. Are you guys on the West Coast?
Our producer is. He's on the West Coast. He's in San Bernardino. We like bi-coastal. We got somebody in California, New York, Texas.
Okay.
We everywhere.
San Bernardino. I used to live out. I went to Cal State San Bernardino, so I'm very familiar with San Bernardino.
Oh yeah, that's where the radio network is founded in San Bernardino. So we'll get right to it. I want to ask I have my questions and I'm gonna throw it to my co-host. My
okay.
First ones are I'm gonna go back to your childhood. I'm gonna go back a little bit. What were you like creatively inclined when you were a kid?
Not really. Well, sports, yeah. I grew up in Compton, so I was creative and trying to survive, if you want to go there.
You're like, right, exactly. Exactly.
But I played basketball. That was my thing, basketball player. And that's all I wanted to do was play ball, just like any other kid in the neighborhood. Either you're into music or you play sports, and basketball was my thing.
Wow. And what age was it when you were like, were you always wanting to be a producer or do that, or did it just sort of happen?
No.
It kind of goes along with your background, and like I know you were a bodyguard. Did it just start there, or?
Yeah, it actually started there. I went to school for criminal justice and sociology, You know, I was a young dad at 19 and a half years old. So it was one of those things where, you know, I got to get a degree if I get a good job. But I also want to play basketball. So I was doing a lot of basketball tryouts, trying to go overseas. I actually did go overseas for a little bit. And then I came back. And it became one of those things of, okay, now I need a full-time job. You know, I have a son to support, so what am I going to do? I didn't want to be a social worker. I didn't want to be a police officer. So I just was like, okay, I gotta figure something out. These basketball trials ain't working. So then I ended up getting the job with the security guard company that specialized in, you know, doing special events like the Oscars, the Emmys, the ESPY Awards, movie premieres. So I just threw on a, you know, shirt and tie and started, you know, doing that for a couple of years. And then I got assigned personally to be Judge Judy's bodyguard. So I was on set with her. And, wow, you know, while being on set, you know, I'm just standing there. You know, so I'm like, what else can I do besides just, you know, standing here looking ugly? Like, what else can I do? So I started paying attention to my surroundings. You know, I was watching the producers. I was learning how they was, you know, operating the cameras. I was learning how to do audio. So I just started learning. I started soaking up everything I could for free. So I was getting that hands-on experience for free. And then one day, I just, you know, they were hiring for a position for a production assistant, which is like the gopher. That's the bottom of the bottom, you know. So okay. I interviewed for that position, and the guy, the executive producer, was like, you know, aren't you the security guard? I was like, yeah, that's me. You know, I want to give it a shot. So they hired me, and then 2 months later, I got promoted to associate producer. And then I left Judge Judy to go over to the Judge Joe Brown show, and they hired me as a producer. And ever since then, I've just been, you know, just growing each year until where I'm at now.
Man, I think Judge Judy is like my top five favorite show. It's like, because she's like my kind of, I feel like she needs to adopt me as like her grand. I needed like an adopted Jewish grandmother because she's like amazing.
Well, she can definitely afford it.
Right, exactly. And Bird, and then it's like her and Bird, like how they go back and forth is funny.
Yeah.
She's like, does this make sense to you? Because it don't make sense to me. And Bird be like, nope, it don't make sense at all.
Bird and I are still cool to this day. He was like a mentor, you know, because he's always, you know, I was already older. I was already like in my mid-20s, but Bird always been like a mentor. And, you know, when I met him and was working with him, he was like, man, you know, you got to do something different, man. I'm telling you, you're supposed to be doing something else. So I'm like, all right, well, I mean, point the direction and I go, you know what I'm saying? So Bird has always been like a good mentor, and I'm still good friends with him to this day.
He seems like a cool cat. He just seems like that person, like, all right, when the defendant or plaintiff get hyped up talking, he's like, all right, and they got to break it up. He's like, all right, calm down.
Yeah.
His demeanor is so chill. But I was going to get to how, okay, you did Judge Judy, you did Judge Joe Brown, these shows. How did that transition? How you were doing associate producing? Did that transition to Unsung? Were you? How did you become a part of? Or how did Unsung come together?
After I'd done Court TV, you know, as a producer, you want to learn different stuff. So, you know, you work full time, but then you're also a freelance producer. So you're able to do a lot of different stuff. So I thought I should venture off, and you know, I moved to New York. Had a good job in New York, and you know, I did a little stint on the Maury Show, Jerry Springer, and then, you know, Tyra Banks had a talk show, and then America's Funniest Home Video type show, those video clip shows, I did that. And then I was working with a production company that also does Unsung. And I remember sitting in the office, I kept hearing this music coming from the editors, and I was like, oh, shit, that's some old school R&B over there. So I went over there, and I was like, man, what kind of show is this? I was like, I want to do this. And a year later, they called me. They was like, hey, what are you doing? And I was like, I was at work on a show I didn't like. And they was like, what are you doing right now? I said, actually, I'm at home. But I was lying. I was really at work at my desk, just bored as hell. And the lady was like, hey, we have an opening over at Unsung, you know, as an associate producer. You know, do you want to come? Mind you, I haven't been an associate producer in like 9 years. So that was taking a step back and taking a major pay cut. But I never produced documentaries. So I wanted to get that experience, so I put my pride to the side, and I took that job. You know, I took a step back in title, and I took a huge pay cut to go back as an associate producer. But it was like the best decision I made, because when I got over to Unsung, my first episode was the Gil Scott-Heron episode. I don't know if you know who Gil Scott-Heron is, but
yeah,
that was my favorite. Yeah, exactly. And I don't know much about him. I knew that the Revolution would not be televised. All thing I knew about him. But then, once I worked on this episode, I mean, that was the best decision I made. And that particular episode won us the Image Award that year. So I really felt, wow, you know, like I came there. It was a blessing for me to come here and do this job. So, and that was my first unsung episode, was the Gil Scott Heron episode. And I was an associate producer for a season and a half, and then I got promoted to producer, and now I got freaking, you know, 15, 20 episodes under my belt.
Wow. You go ahead, Edie. Edie, you go ahead.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a little bit about doing Unsung, and have you had a favorite episode that you've produced so far?
A favorite episode? I would say Gil Scott Heron was probably one of my favorite episodes, but an episode that kind of brought a little bit of meaning to it that really helped, you know, with these, you know, guys in their careers, even after the hits and the, you know, that prime time, the fact that they got back together and performing today was, one of us Troop, and then the second was the R&B group Next. Because before I worked on the Next episode with, you know, T-Lo, RL, and Sweet, them dudes were not talking to each other. I mean, you're talking about Crips versus Blood type shit back in the, you know, the 80s. You know, that was
right.
like if they seen each other on site, it was going to be a problem. And after they'd done the Unsung episode and I interviewed all three of them, I realized that, okay, I'm a producer, so of course I'm looking for the entertainment value. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, these are dudes that, you know, grew up together and made history in the music industry and has a legacy. And the things that they was beefing about and arguing about, it was all hearsay. They never once talked to each other to squash it or see what the problem was. But after doing the Unsung episode, I was like, man, like straight man to man, like, you guys need to talk. Like, no managers, no groupies, no clique. Like, you three need to sit in the room by yourself and just talk. And it happened, and then they literally came back together the day it premiered on Unsung, and ever since then, they've been touring like crazy. So I think that'll probably be one of my favorite episodes. And kind of a similar story with Troop. You know, we started off doing the Troop episode with only four members. You know, the other fifth member, Al, he wasn't a part of that show at first. You know, he wasn't even a part of the episode. He didn't want to do it. But after we finished doing all the interviews and we got to the edit bay and we saw the first cut of it, I hit dude up on Facebook. I sent dude a Facebook message. Like, I'm a groupie. I said, hey, man. I said, hey, dog. You know, I'm Isaac. I'm one of the producers on the show. I really think your voice should be a part of this episode because it's your legacy, and I would hate for you to miss out on this opportunity. And next thing up, he came into the office, met with me and the executive producer, and he sat down and interviewed that same day. And now, a year and a half later, those guys are back together making music and touring. So it's like little stuff like that. I try to, you know, pick those times to be a good Samaritan and just humble myself as a person and be like, man, I think I can help these dudes. Not on no Dr. Phil type stuff, but this
right,
is
right.
real. This on someone, like, I'm a fan too. Like, it's my job, but I'm also a fan too. And it's kind of weird seeing certain people up there performing these dudes' songs, and it ain't the whole group, and especially if they all still alive and healthy. Like, get out there and make your money, man. You know, do it for the fans. Put your differences to the side and do it for the fans. And I think our episode helped bring a lot of groups back together to do that. So that's one thing I definitely appreciate about the job and what I do. And we keep winning awards. So.
Right.
Yeah, we just actually had John on 2 weeks ago.
John, it was 2 weeks ago.
So do you find yourself doing, is that, I know that's not part of your written job description, being, you know, that mediator. I want to say like a therapist, but that mediator when it comes to a lot of the acts that you guys feature on a song. Do you find yourself doing that a lot, having to reach out to people who haven't spoken in 10, 20, 30 years?
Because it's also a part of our job to get the full story, you know, because it's a documentary. You know, it's not... You know, Jerry Springer or a reality show. We would look for, you know, to try to bury someone and dig deep to get all this dirt. But, you know, we also a fan too. So we want to know the story. You know, we want to know what the fans know. And if it's out there in the social media, then we have to address it because it's already out there. So they can choose not to talk about it, but we still have to address it, you know, because it's already out there. And it kind of makes our show don't look too authentic if we don't try to go there. But a lot of times,
right.
It's like, I just feel like it's the right thing to do because, I mean, we wasn't there doing the beef and the, you know what I'm saying, but it's just sad to see people still arguing, you know, especially with the older groups. Like, these dudes have been beefing since the 60s, the 70s. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, some of the artists have died. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of the artists that did our show and died, and they still didn't apologize or squash it. So I just feel like that's kind of messed up. So, you know, of course we get attached to the talent because we are working with them. They are telling us their life stories, you know. So we do spend, you know, weeks and weeks, you know, even a month or two, you know, dealing with the talent. And we know everything. We know their business. We know we meet their families. We meet their friends, you know. So we get to really know these people, you know, get very familiar with them. So sometimes I just feel like, you know what, let me just try it. Let me just be like, hey, man, why don't you give them a call? Or, hey, why don't you just go meet them for coffee or something? So, I mean, sometimes it works, sometimes it don't, but, you know, it just seems like one of those things that, you know, just needs to happen, man. You know, the same thing with Escape, you know. That wasn't my episode, but, you know, I mean, in the social media, they wasn't, you know, too, you know, whatever before the Unsung episode. I ain't saying Unsung brought them closer together,
right.
But it damn sure didn't take them further apart, you know what I'm saying? So now they on tour, you know, they on tour doing
a big tour. Yeah, they were on a big arena tour.
Right, but you notice they didn't do that before Unsung.
Right, exactly.
I'm not giving us all the credit, but it's definitely a large percentage.
I mean, it was a lot of people. You can toot your horn on that one because there was a lot of people that tuned into that episode, especially like not just like 40, like our like age range, like 30s. You know what I mean? Like late 20s, 30s, maybe 40s. But yeah, that age range on Twitter was definitely tuning in that night. But
Escape has the highest rated Unsung episode ever. That was the highest rated episode for us in all 10 seasons.
I believe it.
In all 10 seasons, that was the highest one. And I mean, and I think it's basically, you know, because one, we do have a large fan base alone, but the fact that, you know, Candy got so big with the reality show, Tiny got so big with the reality show. So once they put that out to their fans, everyone tuned in. I mean, they pretty much put it on blast, like, hey, our song is coming on, watch it. And it just blew up. I mean, it shut the Twitter down. You know, we was, you know, we was like number one trending, you know, number one or number two trending that night, which was pretty big for us.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
When you,
go ahead.
No, I was saying, I just think that, you know, having a lot of these artists featured on Unsung kind of makes them look at themselves in a different light. They look at themselves from the viewpoint of a fan. And a lot of times, you know, we as fans wonder what happened to this group. Not only, you know, the financial troubles or maybe relationship troubles they had, but why aren't they still together? Why are they not still making music? What was the reason that they fell off? And that's one of the things I definitely appreciate about Unsung. Because, I mean, even with Unsung Hollywood, I think you guys do a great job of highlighting black excellence, you know, acts that are artists or actors, actresses who have phenomenal resumes, who have been in the game for a long time, but they just haven't had that quote-unquote big break or they haven't done that mainstream crossover, and they kind of fade to black, and the public tends to forget about them sometimes. So I appreciate you guys for doing that work.
Yeah, and, you know, and a lot of times, like, even people who, a lot of artists that do Unsung, like, they call back, like, months later thanking us about, you know, because sometimes people do forget, and sometimes people hear those songs, like, oh, I remember that song. So now people go on iTunes, they start downloading their music again. So now not only are they getting recognized again, people are buying their music again, and now they're making money. You know, I remember, you know, doing DJ Quick, so that was a personal, one of my favorites, too, because we both from Compton. Both from Compton. You know, he went to Centennial High School. I went to Centennial High School. He went to high school with my sister, though. He's a little bit older. But even when his episode aired, he called me and was like, man, my iTunes, people are downloading my albums again. You know, he was like, thank you, man. So I was like, hey, man, thank you. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, it's fun and it's rewarding. And, a lot of times, some of the hurdles we do have to jump over is our title of unsung. A lot of people think that's a negative, like they didn't make it, or
right.
their career was. So I get it. In the beginning, right. it was like that. I mean, for God's sake, our first episode was the DeBarge family. I mean, they
right,
are really
right.
unsung, you know what I'm saying? So we get those groups that are really unsung, and some don't think they're unsung, but they have to understand that unsung has a lot of different meanings. It means uncelebrated, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean you didn't make it, you didn't have a great success. But if you had two number one hit albums and then the third one flopped and then you disappeared, to us, that's unsung. So that's a story. It's not a bad story, but it's like,
right.
what happened? What happened in your career? Did you stop? Did you get sick? Did someone die? Did you have bad management, a bad record label? So to us, that's enough of a niche to be like, okay, that's perfect for an unsung episode. You know, so unsung is not, the brand is there. We can't change the brand. But a lot of people we still have to fight a lot of people what unsung really means and what we want to celebrate when it comes to their music. So.
Yeah, I remember Stephanie Mills actually is one of the people who has actually spoken out about that. And I guess she took it for face value, unsung, and she said that she's not unsung, so she would never do a show like that. But I think
uh-huh.
you're absolutely right. They have to look at it from the viewpoint as sometimes unsung means not celebrated or people haven't recognized your true talent.
Exactly.
So in... Who would you want to see, or who would you want to profile on the show?
I would love to profile so many people that, I don't know if I should name them because you might end up doing them. one person I really would like to profile, and it's not anything bad because I think he's a great talent, is Brian McKnight. And
oh yeah,
the reason why I say that is because look at all the hits he had. He has never mm-hmm. won anything. Never won anything. I think his music definitely goes uncelebrated. He's been nominated, but
right.
he's got
right.
snubbed or looked over every single year. And, you know, I think that people need to celebrate his music, you know. And that's just going back to the 90s. I mean, even trying to go back to the 80s, I mean, I would love to profile L. DeBarge. You know, when we did the DeBarge episode, L was in jail, so he wasn't able
right.
to participate in that. You know what I'm saying? But I think L. DeBarge has a great story, you know, to go through everything he's been through. And I don't know if you've seen him perform lately or seen any videos, but that dude can still...
He's still on point.
Sin,
he's
man.
Amazing.
On,
oh,
on
my God. He's incredible.
Oh, my God. I went to a concert, and he just sat in front of that piano, and he sung all of DeBarge songs, all his songs. He even went old school to his brother's songs with Switch. And
yeah.
those
yep.
songs, I was like, man, this dude is freaking talented and blessed because there's no way he should even have vocals right now. All this shit, he's, you know what I'm saying, things he's been through.
Right,
you know
exactly.
So, there's a lot of artists that, you know, I really want to do. I really hope to get a chance to do it. And, I mean, each year we break the ice on a new one who always told us no. We get through them. I'm like, did you see that episode? Did you talk to that artist? Why don't you go ahead and give him a call and let them know what happened? So, I mean, that's also a thing that I look forward to is, you know, keeping my network going, you know, keeping it attached. And everyone I worked with, you know, I can call them right away, but hey, how you doing? You've been cool, cool. And people still send me thank you text messages. So, you know, I get a kick out of doing a lot of stuff for this show. And I love what I do. I mean, a lot of people can't say they love their work, but you know, mm-hmm. I love what I do. Like if I can live for free and I had to worry about bills, I would do one song for free.
Right.
Amazing.
I was going to ask, just on the, what you just said to add on to that, other people have other, I remember watching y'all had like a top 10, I forgot what year it was, it wasn't that long ago, I think it was like, whatever that year the Escape episode came out, y'all had a top 10 of the best unsung episodes.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
Somebody had was mentioning y'all. Some I don't know what it was, but somebody had mentioned on there like passings. I know a lot of people that have been passing. They that had unsung episodes, and y'all did like tributes to that. But what do you think about people's responses to like people? Y'all had mentioned it and said that unsung is like the I forgot the terminology somebody used, but they said that that's like a setup for them like. They like pass away like right after they do an episode or something like that.
I think I heard that before. That was crazy,
right.
man. I mean, you gotta think about it, dog. I mean, I remember that somewhere. I remember hearing that somewhere. But I mean, think about it. we profile like the Manhattans. You know, we did the OJs. You know, right. Those are people that are literally in their 70s. You know what I'm saying? 60s, and not to be cruel or anything, but you know, black man life, you know, casino expansion ain't that long. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think it was like maybe two episodes where, you know, people were literally on their way, you know, out, and the fact that they were still able to get that energy to interview with us, to do an Unplugged episode, I mean, that was just pretty cool. But it wasn't like, you can't tell me like we interviewed like Troop, them dudes in their 40s, they late 40s, like one of them died afterwards. You know what I'm saying? So I think that comment was just kind of just, I think they're just kind of like just a stab at us for the fact that we do profile a lot of older groups. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times these older guys are in their 70s, they late 60s, they 70s. So it's like, I mean, you think Unsung killed them? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
I think that person was just throwing some darts at us for a little bit, man. But there's never been a young person that interviewed on our show and they just so happened to die afterwards. I mean, that's how I look at that. I think it was just someone trying to throw some shade at us a little bit. But, you know, it was humorous to a certain point, you know.
I just always wanted to know y'all's thoughts on that, because I remember y'all mentioning in that top 10 episode, but I was like, who thinks like that? I was like, I just always wanted to ask somebody, like, what y'all thought of the responses when people say that.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, but I mean, I just look at it, like we profile a lot of people. I mean, we just don't, you know, just like, you know, we're doing Silk right now. We got the Boys coming out. We have, my other episode was the rap group Lost Boys from New York. You know what I'm saying? They coming out later on this year. And then we also have an older group in there where literally the whole group is like in the early 70s. You know what I'm saying? So we still bounce around from years, generation to generation, profiling these people. So, you know, although we moved up to the 90s and the 2000s, we still go back to the 80s, we still go back to the 70s, we still go back to the 60s and highlight these groups. You know, so, I mean, we did B.B. King. We have an episode of B.B. King coming out. He wasn't unsung, but he has a great story. You know, a lot of people don't know a lot of stuff that B.B. King has done. So we are profiling that. So it's like there's a lot of different directions that we go with this. So, I mean, yeah, someone dying after unsung, that's just probably an unfortunate incident that happened. And, I mean, you know, sorry.
I think I just have three more questions, and I think we're going to play the game. We got this What's Wrong With You game. I'm going to play it with you. What's Wrong With You game. The ones related to unsung, what do you think about the people that have, like, they'll question, like, they don't think that, like, you gave, I feel like it's, like, clear what unsung is. I feel like my definition is just people that just didn't have, like, main, that, like, they were big, but they didn't have, like, they didn't all the way, like, cross over in mainstream success. That's what I think when I think of unsung. Like, they didn't get all the accolades and the respect they did. What you said, but just add on, like, more mainstream, is that, is it specific with that, or is it just with their accolades?
I mean, it could be the accolades, but it also could be, like, if something was cut short, like someone had this awesome career that was climbing the charts, platinum record, gold record,
right,
and then, you know, they died. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the dude's name?
Otis Redding?
Yes, exactly. Otis Redding.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Prime example. Height of his career, only 34 years old, died in a plane crash with some of the members from the Barclays. So that's unsung. You know what I'm saying? Because his life was cut short due to a tragedy. You know what I'm saying? So he got the accolades. He was climbing the charts. The same thing with Donny Hathaway. You know what I'm saying? Donny Hathaway was, you know, he just finished off that album with Roberta Flack. Like, he was there. But then due to whatever mental issues people say he had, he died. You know, jumped out or fell out of a hotel window and died. So his life was cut short. So that's unsung. That is a tragedy. That is a story that didn't happen. Or the same thing with Troop. You know, Troop was platinum twice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they broke up with their managers and they jumped record labels and they went to go work with, you know, MC Hammer Brother label. Next thing you know, they was blackballed from the industry. Their third album didn't sell anything. You know what I'm saying? So that's unsung. Pretty much their careers was over after that. So they receive the accolades, they receive everything, but something, the decision they made ended their career. So that's an unsung story. So we don't know what they could have done, but we know what they did do, and we know how it affected their career. So that's a story we tell. So it's a lot of different versions that we can piggyback on to be like, well, that's an unsung story because they was here, they was high, they was low, now they back up, and then this happened. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, same thing with, you know, after seven. You know, they was after seven, you know, they was young, they were Babyface's brothers. They was young, but they was older. So as they started to, you know, get into the stretch of their careers, they didn't want to do the stuff that young people was doing. They didn't want to jump on a tour bus with all these different people and go to the city. They wanted more money. They wanted a live band. So people stopped doing certain things. So then they walked away. After seven, just walked away. They asked the record label, let me out of my contract. And that may have been the biggest mistake for them. I don't know. But to us, there was high, there was low, and then they, you know what I'm saying? Now today they're still performing. But it's just, we just tell the stories about the highs and lows, what could have been, what was, what didn't happen. So it's just, we just storytellers. So we can tell a bunch of different stories and different scenarios how these things happen.
See, like this new season that's coming up of Unsung, and what made y'all do the? I know sometimes y'all switch off from Unsung Hollywood. What?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how y'all came up with like some episodes y'all do of Unsung and then switch off to Unsung Hollywood. Who came up with that idea to do that?
That was something that I think the network just decided to do. Unsung Hollywood, I think, is still a great spinoff of Unsung. It still hasn't reached the level of Unsung. So when we first started doing it, you know, we did a bunch of Unsung episodes. So we started splitting them up, you know, eight episodes of Unsung for one season, followed by Unsung Hollywood. And then we just started switching them off because I think, you know, the ratings was, you know, shifting too much. You know, because people wasn't really piggybacking off of the Unsung Hollywood. Because with the Unsung Hollywood, we had no choice but to start off old. Like, we started off with, like, a lot of older actors and actresses. So it was taking a little bit of time to catch on. You know, it wasn't as, you know, so marketing-wise, why not do, you know, four Unsungs? And then in the middle, throw in two Unsung Hollywoods, and then finish back up with some Unsung music. So it kind of helped the flow of things and kind of mixed it up for the viewers.
I think this is my last question. You do so many, you're not just a producer, you're a filmmaker, you've done short films, CEO of Creative Mind of Two Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know, with all these projects, like, how do you determine what to put your energy into?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I mean, I put my energy into everything. I mean, it just, you know, it takes some energy and time to do an Unsung episode, but as soon as I'm done with the writing part of the Unsung episode, then I'm writing something else, whether it's another short film or a feature film, or I'm shooting, you know, the documentary I just completed about filters, about social media filters. So you just have to push yourself. I mean, you have to find time to do it. I wake up in the morning a lot and write. I go to sleep late at night and write. So I always pick some time out the day to do some writing, whether it's a sentence or a paragraph. I always pick some time out the day to write something that way I stay ahead of the game. So it's draining, tiring, but, you know, you just got to do it. You know, if you're creative and you want to keep pushing, and, you know, you just got to do it. I mean, I'm inspired by everyone who works hard and who's creative. I mean, even if you're pushing a broom down the street, if you're pushing that broom real hard and getting up a lot of dust, I'm like, shit, I got to be doing something too. So I just feed off everyone's energy, man. So I'm like, if they doing something, I got to be doing something. So that's how I roll. And it's working. You know, I'm still young enough. I can do it, man.
Right. We're going to do right now, we're going to play the What's Wrong With You game. And I'm going to give you the explain a little bit. Basically, the premise of the game is it's more like an either-or game. And I'm putting – it's basically you picking – the artist with the best replay value, and pretty much you got to pick what I got to pick. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you.
It's rigged.
So it's not rigged at all. That's the producer that's about to be muted in about 5 seconds. So
wait, no,
it's
wait,
not
no,
rigged.
Hey, So Eric, you help me out. So, what, so is this a good game, or should I be afraid?
You know what? It's a great game, but just choose wisely.
And let me be specific. It's to give you a visual. It's the emphasis is on replay value of catalog of these artists. Replay value of catalog. So
replay value. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, we've modified
replay value of catalog. Okay. Yes, it's not vocal comparisons. It's specifically replay value of catalog. Okay, here we go. Here's the first one: Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass.
Marvin Gaye.
There you go, you're talking right. You get you should get bonus for that. That's a bonus one. Second one, OJs or the Whispers?
OJs.
That's a bonus one. Either way, you could it's a little tricks. Like I said, I make up the rules as I go. So it's like little tricks in there along the way.
It's rigged.
It's not rigged at all.
She make up the rules as she go. Okay.
Yeah, I make them up. So,
it's rigged.
One. It's little tricks in between there. Okay, next one. Rick James or Prince?
See, there you go. I have to go with Prince.
That's another trick question. Either way, you could have won because they were both musically on the same level, musicality-wise. So that's why it's bonus. Okay, you acing it. Okay, now we start cooking right here. Now these are not either or. You got to answer these like, it's no, you can't pick one. Okay, this is where we get to the hard one. Okay, this is specific to Michael Jackson. Off the Wall or Thriller?
Off the Wall.
You talking right. You talking right. Next one. This one is, we get into EB's favorite one. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Miss Patty or Miss Aretha?
Before you answer, Isaac, before you answer, I want you to think long and hard.
No, look, don't be trying to influence the decisions, EB.
That is a hard one, man.
It ain't that hard.
No, wait, let me say well, I mean, I like both. I have to go with Patti LaBelle.
You talking right? Oh, there we man. Go. There we go, you talking right. Don't get mad, EB. I knew it. I could feel it.
Oh, he had Aretha?
Yes, he's team Aretha all day. But I knew the synergy was right on this one. I knew. There we go. Okay, you mentioned this one artist earlier. Brian McKnight or Babyface?
Oh, Babyface all day.
Hey,
ladies
I like
and gentlemen, this is the first time in history of.
Let me tell you.
Go ahead.
When I interviewed Babyface for After 7, he's talking about, excuse my language, he's talking about a little kid at a candy store just like blushing and over a man. That was me.
Nah, ain't nothing wrong with that. That is
right
a legend. A living yeah. legend. Listen, this is the first time on Soul 70's radio history. Somebody has completely aced, didn't need to be persuaded.
No way. No way.
But
it didn't take more than 5 seconds.
He didn't ace it, though.
He aced it all the way through.
He got one wrong.
Perfect. No, he didn't. That don't count. He completely aced it, didn't take 3 seconds, 5 seconds. We didn't have to wait, like on Jeopardy, to get his answer. I determined. Forget what EB said. I determined. There is nothing wrong with Mr. Isaac Taylor. Ain't nothing wrong with him at all. You aced this entire game. Ain't nothing wrong with you on the music side of the game. EB, do you have some for him? Do you want to throw a little bit at him? Some more names at him?
You know what? Because I always switch mine up a little bit. I do songs.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a year. And then two songs, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So these songs are on the radio in the same years at the same time. So the first one, I'm going to say Michael Jackson, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, or Prince, I Want to Be Your Lover.
Michael.
You're talking right.
Yeah, the jump in on that.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Let me get you a good one. Go with 1994. You got Mary J. Blige, Be Happy, or TLC, Baby, Baby, Baby.
TLC.
I don't know about that one.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. You sure? All right, I'm gonna give you one more. We'll take it back to the 80s. 1982. No, this is a better one. 1986. Anita Baker, Sweet Love, or Renee and Angela, Your Smile.
I have to go Anita Baker.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. All right, so I mean he did well. He got one wrong. That was just the Aretha Patty one.
That was not wrong at all. He was 100% right. I knew it. That's our first time playing this game this year, and right off the bat we got a Patty. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I live for. Thank you so much, Isaac, for coming on. Unsung, to the listeners out there, Unsung comes on February 18th on TV One. It's 8 Eastern Time, isn't it?
Yes.
8 Eastern Time. Yes. And what other projects? I know you're filming and you're doing a lot of projects. What else could we be looking for from you?
Be looking for my Filters documentary is now on, you know, Amazon and Vimeo on demand, and it's going to be on Hulu in a month. I'm also doing a spinoff series off that documentary. So that's coming. And then my other film, the short film, Me, Myself, and Them, with R&B artist Tank, turn that into a feature this summer. So I'll be filming that. So I'm going to keep staying busy, man. And I got like three other Unsung episodes that I'm currently working on right now. I can't mention the name yet because we haven't released the new list, but
right.
I have some more great shows coming up, and you know, just check out the Silk one, the Silk episode. That's my show. That's my premiere episode. It airs. It airs February 18th.
That's my group. My top five group.
Oh, yeah.
90s group.
Yeah. So be prepared. That's a good one, man. So yeah, and y'all send me your address, man, so I can send y'all some Unsung stuff. I got some
absolutely.
Perhaps with you guys.
Definitely.
I can send that stuff to you guys.
Thank you so much for coming on. I love Unsung. I love everything about it because the music nerd in me, I'm a musician and a music journalist. So when I sit, y'all have great journalists on and people that recount the history of during that time period that are there.
Okay.
I just love it. So the music nerd in me, especially the Sylvester one and any of the 70s acts, I really get into it. The live instrumentation and them. That episode of when y'all did the disco, I think that might be my top five, the disco one.
Because
I had Janice Marie Johnson on there showing how she did that bass lick, and she just said she just made it. Oh, man, my music nerd level is at like 1,000. So
as
a musician, I was just sitting there listening. I was like, that was like the best part to me was her like breaking down Boogie Oogie Oogie. I was living for it. But thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. And thank you for winning the What's Wrong With You game and acing it out.
Thank you guys.
Forget what my co-host EB said. You aced it all the way.
Mr. Isaac.
There's nothing wrong with Team Patty.
Mr.
Team Patty.
Isaac
Thank
Taylor,
you so much
everyone.
For coming on. Thank you so much. There you go. We got the automated clap going on. We got it in the budget now. Automated clap. Will, if you're ready, we can go to break. I don't even want to announce this song that he's about to play because this, talk about these, people stealing that award show when we come back from break. Go ahead and play this Mexican girl.
I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? You and your ass invited. So gone and get to clapping. Go pop a phone pad. Pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a pad. Drop it for me. I'll rent a beach house in Miami. Wake up with no jammies. Lobster tail for dinner. Julio served that scampi. You got it if you want it. Got it if you want it. Said you got it if you want it. Take my wallet if you want it now. Jump in the Cadillac. Girl, let's put some miles on it. Anything you want. Just just to put a smile on it. You deserve it, baby, you deserve it all. I'm gonna give it to you. Cool jewelry, shine, it's so bright. Strawberry champagne on ice. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Sex by the fire at night. Silk sheets and diamonds all white. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Talking trips to Puerto Rico. Say the word and we go. You can be my flica. Girl, I'll be a flico mamacita. Make a promise that I can't keep. I promise that your smile ain't gonna never leave. Shopping sprees in Paris, everything 24 carats. Take a look in that mirror. Now tell me who's the fairest? Is it you? Is it you? Is it me? Is it me? Say it's us. Say it's us. And I'll agree, baby. Jump in the Cadillac, girl. Let's put some miles on it. Anything you want, just to put a smile on it. You deserve it, baby. You deserve it. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Sex by the fire at night. Silk sheets and diamonds all white. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Say you want a good time. But here I am, baby. Here I am, baby. Talk to me, talk to me. Talk to me, say it.
Alright, hey, that's Bruno Mars. Hey, welcome back to the Soul Savage Show. Q Lynn Green, got a question for you real quick. Bruno Mars, why did you pick that song?
Cause I lost a bet. That's why I picked that song. Well,
oh, I thought so.
Was mentioned, I still got it. The bet was that, if he won the R&B album that I had to play of Bruno Mars, Versace on the Floor, but EB had came up with a great idea. The theme of tonight's song is playing songs that sound similar. That's the theme. And he suggested that one. I was like, yeah, cause I told y'all the week before we left that, that song sounds similar to the one, hopefully you about to play, the Minute Large song. It's called Funny Feelings. And it sounds exactly like, the Minute Large song. And I was like, oh, he basically just stole this song from Minute Large. Mm. Now the other one, the other theme song, this is probably the only two right here that I think was stolen. The other ones just sound similar, the ones we gonna play throughout the show. But this one right here, it sound like he ripped that one off.
Oh, okay. Oh, let's see.
But I wanted to throw up when you was playing it, but play this good one right here.
Minute Large.
This is the best version of that song. There we go.
How